This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by Farrah.com. There's a lot of news happening all around the world, and right here at home, it's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So almost 70,000 people busted for small amounts of pot are basically going to get a reprieve from the state of Washington. Something around 69,000 convictions for misdemeanor possession. They're going to have their records wiped clean after the state house passed a bill that would require judges to vacate these convictions for anyone who were 21 or older when they ended up getting busted. And that's kind of interesting to me because you're going to go after the people 21 and over, but what if it was a 20-year-old? Are you telling me that they should suffer the consequences the way you think current adults who were adults when they got popped are suffering? It's a little bit of a weird one for me. According to Democratic Representative Roger Goodman, he says this gives these people who have been hurt by this a fresh start.
Having a criminal conviction on your record has quite a prejudicial effect on someone's future in terms of employment and housing and education.
What about the 20-year-old? Okay, some Republicans, including Representative Brad Klippert, they were a very, very hard no on this.
I have seen in my 25 years of law enforcement the harmful effects of marijuana in the lives of people and their families.
I like Brad Klippert. I like him. I just wonder about where he's coming from on this. With all due respect to Brad, and we've had him on the show to debate this issue, I just think he's wrong on the concept of whether or not we should even legalize marijuana. He seems to be one of those people who treats marijuana as if it's heroin, as if it's a deadly drug. And the truth of the matter is, marijuana is not a deadly drug. Go look up the amount of pot overdoses, and good luck trying to find data to back up your fear-mongering or your perception, because it's just not that bad. It isn't. I don't want anyone smoking weed. I don't want kids smoking weed. But if you're an adult and you want to partake responsibly, more power to it. I view this the same with the equivalent of drinking a beer or two after a hard day's work. Some people like to smoke marijuana or vape marijuana, whatever it is, do CBD oil with the THC in it so you're actually getting high. People like to do that to unwind, to treat some issues that they're dealing with. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I just wonder when it comes to this bill that I'm not particularly passionate about either way. I'm not outraged by this. I'm also not like jumping high into there. Yeah! Like, I'm just not doing that. Because I just wonder what the message this sends to people. Every time we change a law, are we going to be of the position that we should go back and change the convictions as well? And what about the message of following the law at the time? There are lots of laws that bother me that I think are bad laws. I think it's a bad law, for example, to ticket me because I touch my phone when I'm in the car and I'm stuck in traffic and no one's moving. Now, under the EDUI bill here in Washington State, I could be ticketed. I find that ridiculous. I find that ludicrous. Now, I choose not to follow that law. And presumably at some point I might get caught and I'll get a ticket. Now, let's say that in 10 years, 20 years from now, we get rid of that law on the books because we have, you know, a different viewpoint on the dangers of technology. Are you going to go back and you're going to wipe my record clean? And then, by the way, give me a refund for the $136 ticket or whatever it is. We should be following the laws on the books at the time, whether or not we agree with them, right? That's just my position. And so something like this is just weird. I don't understand it. I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-465-8770. That's the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. Keep your position on marijuana legalization completely out of this just for this conversation. Is this the right move? To wipe the records clean of individuals who, when it was illegal, were breaking the law? 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
So Cook County, Illinois, State Attorney Kim Fox, she's in more trouble for her ridiculous move to drop the charges against Jussie Smollett for faking that hate crime. And beyond faking the hate crime and taking advantage of people's goodwill, understand he besmirched Trump supporters. He made what is a tenuous situation between liberals and conservatives even more tenuous. by doing this, claiming this is MAGA country, they yelled at me. Now, Kim Fox claimed that she had recused herself from the investigation, but it turns out that did not happen. Unless none of us, including lawyers and analysts, unless we all have fallen victim to, I don't even know what the word recuse means anymore. Maybe we've done an update on that language, because we update language all the time on the left, right? The left updates language all the time. They do it with gender. They do it with pronouns. Maybe they're doing it here with the term recuse. Because she said she recused herself from the investigation, but now we've actually got text messages suggesting, no, that's not what happened at all. Ron Blitzer from lawandcrime.com, he was actually on the show yesterday. He said on March 8th, well after the case was underway, Fox texted associates, quote, "So, I'm recused, but when people accuse us of overcharging cases, 16 counts on a class 4 becomes exhibit A," she said in this text message. Comparing Smollett's case to her office's handling of the R. Kelly case, she said, quote, "Pedophile with 4 victims, 10 counts. Washed up celeb who lied to cops, 16. Fox then went even further, giving her thoughts specifically on how the Smollett case should be handled, which is exactly what you're not supposed to do. She said, on a case eligible for deferred prosecution, I think it's indicative of something we should be looking at generally. Just because we can charge something doesn't mean we should. Now, of course, after that happened, even though she said she had nothing to do with the case being dropped, the charges being dropped, they dropped the case after she sent these messages. When you say you're going to recuse yourself, that means you're not involved at all. You're not involved at all in the prosecution. You're not involved at all in dropping charges. You're not involved at all. And this shows you that she's lying when she says she recused herself. This shows you exactly what happens when you're a well-connected celebrity on the left who is well-liked by certain activists in the community who are connected to people like Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or whomever, and all these other people who just, I think Bernie Sanders also sent out a tweet supporting him originally. When you've got that kind of support, it turns out you can buy your way to freedom. Now, it's interesting because in the case of Lori Loughlin of Full House fame, she's being charged in this college admissions scandal. Bail on her case was something like $1 million. That seems crazy to me. You cheated the system, you paid to get your kids into college, and you have a $1 million bail put on you. Jussie Smollett lied, wasted resources coming from the Chicago PD, decided to further initiate hatred between progressives and conservatives by making this about Donald Trump. He was actually indicted. Police want to see him charged and put to court, put on trial, and then they drop it. That's interesting. Why is that? That's weird to me. By the way, I don't know if you saw this, Producer Tom, because as this story was breaking and the recusal, seeing all these text messages coming out, there was this smaller story that suggested Michael Avenatti was trying to get involved in what was going on. Michael Avenatti, as Tucker Carlson calls him, the creepy porn lawyer, the guy who faces something like, what, 355 years in jail for a whole host of issues?
And little known fact, Brian Stelter's best friend.
BFFs. He wanted to represent the Nigerian brothers in this, which would have been the worst thing for the Nigerian brothers.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't come out with anything.
Oh, no, no, no. This would be bad for them. Now, of course, as you recall, they're the brothers who were paid, allegedly, to attack Jussie Smollett. Jussie Smollett pretended that they were white, they are black, and they appear to be innocent in all of this, that they were just paid to do a job. I think that you probably should have said no to that, but they didn't. I don't think they broke any laws.
Let's talk figures.
They didn't break any law, as far as I know. Michael Avenatti gets involved and backs the Nigerian brothers. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, oh, maybe Jussie Smollett didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Maybe he is a victim here. Everything Michael Avenatti touches turns to trash.
Just disintegrates.
Because he's just so super suspicious. So I'm glad he actually didn't get involved.
Not who you want representing.
No. Don't forget, the best move you can make right now is to download the KTTH app, because when we have important news that's breaking that you're not aware of and maybe you're not able to listen at the time, We will send you an alert so you can listen live in real time on the app. If you're driving around the city and certain parts of your neighborhood, you get some bad reception. Well, we solve all of that problem with an app. Text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770 or just go into your smartphone's app store and look up the KTTH app. Right now, let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin is being accused by two former employees of mistreatment in her office and a toxic environment. Joining us in studio to talk a little bit more about the allegations that the mayor actually denies, Aaron Granillo, our friend and colleague, reporter with Cairo Radio, our sister station. Thanks for coming in. Take us through this report, which we originally found in Crosscut.
Great. Crosscuts has these public record requests sent to them of employees, again, who allege this toxic work environment. The first employee claims that Durkin essentially grabbed her by the face and shook her head. Now, how this all led to that, to this alleged shaking is what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. So this was a gathering at the mayor's office. It was for somebody's birthday party. And then the conversation comes up that there's this upcoming event and Durkin wants to handle it one way. And this unnamed employee wants to handle it another way. There's this back and forth. There's this exchange. And essentially Durkin allegedly grabs her by the face and says, you know, you're not listening to me, right? Whether it was playful or not doesn't seem to matter because this employee is apparently a domestic violence survivor. So this is a triggering event for her. And then she goes straight to, you know, the HR department and she says, hey, you know, I feel abused. I'm not comfortable here. I need a new work assignment. Even Durkin's voice is a trigger for me now.
OK, so the interesting thing about this is, and I'm going to offend Durkin halfway and then completely run over her on the next. Number one, not understanding someone was the victim of domestic violence. And if you do things in this way that is meant to be either as a joke or certainly not in a nefarious or threatening way, I don't blame you for not knowing that. So I'll give her that benefit of the doubt. But don't touch employees, period, ever. Well, don't grab them by the face. If this happened, they'd say it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But just don't touch another employee ever. Don't hug them. You can give them a handshake that can't last more than 3 seconds. That's it.
She says she didn't touch her. So, I mean, it's she says in this case. So, mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I mean,
okay.
You weren't there, you don't know.
But this is not the only allegation of some kind of mistreatment in her office, which then is why some red flags might be raised.
Right. And this, you know, this second case, and again, I haven't talked to the person who's making this accusation. This is only based on Crosscut's reporting and their public records. But I read the second accusation as a little bit of sour grapes. Mm-hmm. This woman who says, you know, she's this standout employee for King County.
Are.
Right. We all are, right?
You're not. You're new. I am.
Hey, I'm doing okay. all right. So this former King County employee now goes to the mayor's office, and she's not doing well, right? She's just not doing well, according to...
Performance-wise, you mean?
Okay. So she has this two-month, you know, follow-up with her superiors, and they give her a list of things to improve upon. A few days later, she comes back with a doctor's note, and she says, you know, this environment isn't right for me. I need a new work assignment. They comply, and then in her new work assignment, apparently she doesn't do a good job there either, and so she's let go.
That's it?
That's
so now she's claiming toxic environment.
She claims that she was never given the resources to succeed.
Yeah. I mean, my read is the same exact as you. And so I'm going to defend Durkin in this case. Yeah. I don't know exactly what happened. But look, two instances of this coming up in such a short amount of time, it certainly raises some eyebrows, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything was done. The thing that stood out to me was, didn't the mayor apologize for something?
Yeah, so she apologized for making the employee feel uncomfortable, essentially. She said she was sorry.
But what is she sorry for? If she did nothing wrong, neither of these employees were mistreated, what are you apologizing for? Was this an apology for how you feel, which is not really an apology? I'm sorry you feel like you were mistreated. Doesn't mean I mistreated you.
I guess according to the accounts in these public records, it sounds like it did get a little heated, like they were talking over each other.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she did get into her face, you know, and maybe that did make the woman feel uncomfortable. So I think yes, it's an apology for making somebody feel uncomfortable, someone who is a domestic violence survivor, who she was not aware that that was the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm made to be feel more uncomfortable about the state of the city, which seems to be way more significant than either of these complaints. So for me, unless there's some additional there, mm-hmm. this kind of seems like bad timing,
right.
and just then, putting out some information we should have access to. Kudos to Crosscut.
Important to note also, the employee, the first employee who alleges the face grabbing, she never filed a formal complaint.
Doesn't she still work for the city, just for a different department?
She does not work.
Oh, she's completely out. Okay.
Correct, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, there you go.
There you have it.
Is there anything here? Doesn't sound like it. At least not yet. I certainly believe that Mayor Durkin might get heated in meetings because politicians do, and this is one who seems to have a very thin skin and doesn't like to be questioned.
Yeah.
That's generally my take, especially since I get the phone calls off air, off the record from members of the administration complaining about stuff I do. Mm.
Okay. Well, I mean, you never know. Will more employees say stuff? I mean, when these reports come out, you always have copycats, right?
Well, or copycats, or in the sense of, hey, I've been feeling this the entire time. I've not felt compelled enough to say anything because I don't want to be called out. I don't want Aaron Granillo from Cairo Radio, not KTTH, jumping on the radio and saying sour grapes, but now I'm empowered.
Right, exactly.
And I think there's some validity to that. Right. So obviously we'll keep our ear to the ground to see if there's any more of this happening. But right now for me, I don't think this is a big deal. We should have access to the information. I'm glad we do, but it doesn't seem like there's any there. At least that's my take.
Right. And kudos to Crosscut. They did a good job.
Okay. I already gave them the kudos. We don't need to give them three.
It's their report.
Okay. Well, do your own report then, Aaron.
And I did talk to the chief of staff who was mentioned in this report, too, and she does deny.
Stephanie Formas.
Stephanie Formas, correct. She denies this happened.
Well, there you go. For more information, check out our sister website, mynorthwest.com. Aaron Granillo from our sister station, Car Radio. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The environment.
So another whale has died, although we've been arguing about this for a while. It's a gray whale, not an orca. So does that mean people don't care or they do care about this one?
They care, but just a little
just
less.
Not as much as the orcas, because it died in a similar way that some of the orcas have died. It was found floating in Elliott Bay, and it likely died a while ago, but it did show signs of malnourishment. So we're not entirely sure yet, at least, how long ago it died, but it just kind of came ashore. The AP says whale researchers with the Cascadia Research Collective said that researchers found the whale was in poor body condition with some woody debris in the stomach, but no sign of food. So I have many thoughts and questions. I'm not going to go through all of them because I'm a bad person sometimes, and I try not to highlight the badness of me, but sometimes, don't nod your head, you jerk. Sometimes I can't help it. So number one, I thought we cared about the whales, but it feels like now we don't. And because it's not an orca, it's a gray whale. No one's talking about this, really. It's getting some play, but has this gotten any significant mention in the media? Have you noticed anything? I haven't.
No, because I think because it's a gray whale, people think it's probably kind of old. And it's just, you know.
I thought it was an orca this entire time. So people didn't even pretend to be like, oh, but it's an orca. Like, they didn't get confused. Number two. What happened to the woman from Snohomish who was on the hunger strike for 17 days? Because I'm pretty sure today is day 17. She said she was going to go on a hunger strike for 17 days to bring attention to the orcas that are dying and we need to save them or something. She okay? And was she really on a hunger strike? Does that mean she was drinking water, though?
So it sounds like the gray whale was also hungry.
Maybe the gray whale was on a hunger strike. It was protesting something that they didn't like.
Yeah, maybe it was day 18.
Maybe the gray whale was all like, you know what? I am sick and tired of activists in the community constantly bagging on the cops. And the whale, because they didn't say this in this report, but I read it on Twitter, that the whale had a Back the Blue bumper sticker on its tail, or what was left of the decomposing tail. And maybe it was angry. And so to bring attention to it, It starved. It ate wood.
Got to take a stand at some point.
How do they know that? They say the wood was found. Wood debris was found in the stomach, but they said, but no food. Could the whale have been dead for a while and then the wood just drift through its open mouth? I don't.
Well,
I mean, how it doesn't it depend on how long the whale was dead for to figure out whether or not the food would even still be there? I don't.
You're so ignorant. You don't know about the gray whale.
I'm sorry. I don't know about it. It's dead and that's sad.
Unbelievable.
But people don't care because it's not an orca, I guess. 1-800-465-8770. It's Better Tax Resolution Hotline. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on The Jason Rant Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. It's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. You know what time that means? It means it's time for The Big Local, brought to you by Sean Keller, Smiles by Design. This is the part of the show where we ignore the city of Seattle, and instead we focus on the communities and cities that you actually live in and care about. And we start in Mukilteo, where a local business is just fed up with being burglarized. They're so fed up that a business owner there is now offering a $1,000 reward to catch the guy who they think is responsible for all of these burglaries. The company is called Jira Asphalt and Concrete. And they tell Cairo 7 TV they've seen thousands of dollars of equipment stolen. In fact, $8,000 worth of equipment has been stolen.
He cut off the lock, and he sold a lot of stuff from here. I think we're all upset, very upset. We want him to be arrested, so maybe he just won't come back here. We're offering a $1,000 reward right now. It's very frustrating when you're trying to do everything right, when you're trying to be a hard worker, and somebody comes and steals everything from you.
And I feel so bad for them. Because, look, anyone who's ever been the victim of a smash and grab or a home break-in or a business, you know the feeling of being violated, right? Like, it just feels wrong. Someone was in your home, someone was in your car, someone was in your business, and they burglarized you. You're the one who worked really, really hard. You're the one who's worked really, really, really hard for that business or for whatever it is you own that they stole. And these criminals just go in and they take what isn't theirs. It's so maddening. So Cairo 7 TV says in one surveillance clip, the man is seen moving around in the container with his face covered before apparently realizing, oh yeah, there's a security camera up there. So at that point, he covered his face, and then he covered the camera, so we do have some images of this guy. I do like that move. That move is kind of gutsy, right? Or futile. I don't know which way it is. You're already in there. You notice the camera. You're looking directly at the camera, and then you cover it up in your face. At that point, why don't you just continue to go about with the robbery? Why? He knows how video works, right? Like, the video can be paused and then they can get a clean shot of his face. So why even spend any of the, why burn any of the calories associated with that?
It doesn't show him actually taking the stuff.
That's not true. They found him in the middle of stealing. He's not supposed to be there. He's certainly trespassing. I'm just saying, at that point, it's like you're literally looking up at the camera. It's too late. If you're looking at the camera, it's too late. It doesn't matter what you do to cover up your face or cover up the camera. So Mukilteo cops are saying, hey, we're trying to identify this guy. We've got the photo going on. We're investigating. But the problem for this company is that they've been the victims of theft 4 times in the last few years. And they're just sick of it. So they're putting out this $1,000 reward. Now, this is the kind of stuff that it doesn't just devastate businesses, right? I mean, we're talking about several times over the course of a few years to the tune where they're stealing $8,000 worth of equipment. That's a lot. But this is the kind of stuff that has the capacity of really dragging down a community, right? I mean, think about the smaller cities out there, the smaller communities out there. When you're seeing a repeat victim of a crime, number one, you start to think that crime is way worse than it actually is, because in this case, it might just be literally one person. But number two, then you start to have a general distrust of authority figures who haven't been able to find the person. So I'm glad that they're giving the award. I wish they wouldn't have to give the award. But my sense is, when we talk about stories like this, my sense has been that there are more bad guys out there who feel empowered. Because you've got a lot of folks in communities like Seattle that are driven by ideologues who just refuse to prosecute criminals. They won't prosecute. And I got to assume that the bad guy in Mukilteo, or the bad guy in Burien, or the bad guy or woman in Milton, the gem of Pierce County, I have to assume they might get empowered by the fact that, oh, we must live in an area where they're not really taking crime all that seriously. So I guess I'm going to commit crime a little bit more brazenly. But we'll see. I hope they find this guy. Speaking of crime, this is a weird thing, a weird ask on something that's so significant. There's a new campaign at SeaTac that is aiming to fight local sex trafficking, and they want your assistance. Now, normally I would say, okay, I would love to assist any way that I can. But I'm not sure I'm helpful in this scenario. Kira Dubbeck is a trafficking survivor. She spoke to our sister station, Cairo Radio, and said, you need to start looking for signs that someone's being held against their will or maybe traveling with one of these traffickers.
They're not allowed to do things like make eye contact. They're staring at the floor. They're not allowed to hold their own documents. They have none of their own money. Maybe they have no personal belongings or bags.
I mean, the last one is a little suspicious for sure, but what if you just have a kid? Let's say we're talking about like a 9-year-old kid who is socially awkward, and they're not going to have their own ID on them. I'm presuming that the parent is going to have it on them. Like, I just wonder if we're... if this kind of advice is a little bit too generic, I suppose. Because remember, there was this story, I want to say 2 months ago. It happened in Phoenix at their airport, where Cindy McCain, the wife of the late Senator John McCain, was in the airport, and there was a big story... actually, when I was in Phoenix, about how she spotted a trafficker. And she went out, she did some press, she goes, you know, this is really important to fight for this. But then it turns out it wasn't a trafficking incident at all. Like, the trafficking didn't actually happen. And so that's what I'm wondering here, because here's the deal. I'm told in this case that SeaTac is a major port in the sex trade because of the international flights. Okay. I assume everyone is guilty looking. I assume every single person around me is guilty of something. I go on a plane, I wait in the, on the, I just wait at the terminal, and I'm seated, and I'm bored. I'm angry that I can't plug in my phone anywhere, and I constantly look around. I do two things. Number one, I look around to see if there's a kid on the flight, because in my mind, if there's a kid on the flight, God will not crash this plane. But number two, the thing I think of is, you look a little shady.
What are you
hey, lady, what are you doing over there? And then, and I'm not making this up, because I'm bored and creative. For every single person on the flight that I see, I come up with a storyline as to who they are, where they come from, what they do for a living. 9 out of 10 times, they're bad people. Some of them are terrorists. Others are burglars. I've not done a sex trafficking one yet, though.
Do you ever go up to the TSA agent and say,
no,
look
here's
at this
the,
guy's back
here's the
one
bad
more
thing
time.
About all of this.
I make him put his arms up again.
Here's the worst thing. If I'm certain someone's a bad guy, I'm certain I won't say anything for fear that I'm wrong, and then I'll be ridiculed.
Yeah.
Which I know is the exact opposite that you're supposed to do.
If you think something, say something.
I know, but we don't. We don't. It's got to be something very, very obvious for any of us to say something. And the thing is, could we not better train the staff at SeaTac to look for this? I'm assuming that they do some training already. Like, they have some skills in this. But do they all? I mean, go to the dude who's the barista at the Starbucks. Go to the lady selling the pretzels or the smoothies or whatever. Go to the Made in Washington store. Have them also be trained to pick up on this.
If you see a little girl without her bag, oh, that's something. That's a sign right there. Don't have a bag with an older person?
Doesn't it kind of feel like, though, that it's so general that I can easily see how this advice might be a little bit too broad? And then I get paranoid when I'm not finding it. You're telling me that Seattle's a major port, SeaTac's a major port in the sex trade. Well, so does that mean I should be seeing more of this happening? And then if I don't see it, I'm going to start telling myself I see something? I'm always weirded out by stuff like this. And that's definitely on me. That's my problem. But that is what it is. Should we do one more story?
One more.
Yeah,
one
more. Okay. A Spokane Valley woman, her name is Dawn Swanson. She said Amazon claimed she owed a huge amount of taxes for items sold on her Amazon account, but she's never been an online seller before. It turns out that she is a victim of some sort of cyber hack. According to an IRS document that she received, they said she owed $34,000. She told KREM-TV.
I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? And it said seller on there, so Amazon seller. And I've never sold anything on Amazon, and I don't even know how to sell anything on Amazon.
I mean, so the IRS thinks suddenly you have $30,000 in extra income.
Yes, correct.
And that's not you.
It's not me.
And so she ends up turning to Amazon for some help, but it wasn't very easy.
So I called immediately, and they said, well, we don't know that you are you, and you're not giving the correct information. And I said, it's me. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it's me.
How many hours did you spend on the phone with Amazon?
1,000.
Oh, my gosh. At least 20 to 30 hours.
I mean, I was a little close.
In a week. I didn't know what to do other than keep filing extensions until I could get it resolved.
But that's not what she ended up doing. You know what she did? She contacted KREM TV, and they made a phone call, and they figured it all out. Why do we have to go to TV stations or radio stations or newspapers? Well, no one goes to newspapers anymore. Why do blogs and stuff? Why do you have to go to them to get some sort of action?
Because bad pub.
Gosh. You should always just, whenever you're in, here's my life tip to everybody. If anyone is ever screwing you over, all you have to do is say, I listened to Jason Rantz. I'm going to tell him this story if you don't fix this. Abuse it if you'd like. But I mean, if you break the law, I'm not going to back you.
Doesn't work for really producers.
Don't. Yeah, no, I didn't. You can't be associated with the show. Then you're disrespected. This is Jason Rantz Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show live from the Online Trading Academy studio. Senator Guy Palumbo, the Democrat from Malfi, he wanted a school levy bill to fund charter schools, not just public schools. Unfortunately, it didn't go so well for him. It earned him a censure from the state Democratic Party. State Senator Guy Palumbo joins me now. Guy, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Jason. And I'm sorry I cheated on you with Saul Spady last week.
I know. We got to keep you loyal, but you're a Democrat. What can I say? So congratulations. You got censured. Take us through what happened.
Yeah, so we've got, and I got to apologize in advance to your listeners. We're literally on the floor right now voting on bills. So I may have to run over and do sure. a voice vote. So I apologize if I get interrupted very briefly. It was kind of a big deal for us is that we had this levy bill. I put on an amendment to basically make parity between local levies, between charter schools, public charter schools, and regular public schools. And unfortunately, I get censured by the party as a result of it.
How did you find out about the censure?
Oh, yeah. So I was in Ways and Means yesterday or the day before, and a lobbyist came up to me and just said, hey, you got censured by the party. I didn't know about it. Hold on one second. I got to stand on the floor here for a vote. I called the party chair and found out that, in fact, I was censured. So didn't know about it ahead of time, didn't know about it afterwards. That's what happened.
So what does it mean when the state party censures you?
Basically, at their conference, which was in Pasco, I guess, last week, about 50 or so people are part of this committee, and they pass a resolution that basically says I'm a bad person, and, that's about it. I mean, that's essentially the censure, a little written statement that says you're a bad person.
Okay. So, and by the way, Guy, I've always known that about you. You're a horrible person because you're a reasonable politician, and that makes you bad to the Democratic Party. Why is it that Democrats are so threatened when anyone stands up and says, hey, charter schools and charter students, they should also get some consideration from the state?
Yeah, it's really hard because if you think I ran in 2012 and lost, and charter schools was something that was a big issue in that race. I kind of got excommunicated from the party on it. At that point in time. There's a lot of people that just don't want to have alternative methods that may or may not hire union teachers, which I understand. Even President Obama was for charters. Equity groups are for charters. Mostly these charters serve disadvantaged kids, kids of low income, kids of color, and disproportionately special education. And they just provide one little tool in the toolbox for certain people that need something different than the traditional public school model. But for some reason, a lot of people just can't let go because, we passed Initiative 1240 in 2012, and then there was multiple lawsuits from the teachers union mm-hmm. that went to the state Supreme Court. And that last lawsuit finally ended this past fall. So, they're here. They're legal. The people have voted on them and approved them, and the Supreme Court ratified them. So, at some point, people need to move on, And basically, I'm concerned about the low-income kid at a charter school. Like, right now, they don't get local levy money. So that's anywhere from $1,900 to $4,200 less per pupil at a charter school and you cross the street to another school and they get that extra money. And to me, that's not fair just because people don't like charter schools. Like, we shouldn't penalize the low-income kid, you know, in his life or her life simply because people want to relitigate 1240 and the Supreme Court ruling. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't, but we know that the teachers' union is behind this, right? I mean, do you suspect that when it comes to the censure, they played a role?
I don't know because I wasn't out there. I think it had more to do with some of the, you know, the activists or the paramount duty people, you know, some of the party activists that, you know, never really liked me. you know, and I think they just kind of rabble-roused and got it done. I don't know who was on that committee, to be honest with you. I didn't even know about it, as I said, until, you know, yesterday.
Well, what's interesting about this is you're a Democrat. You caucus with the Democrats. You've got a D next to your name, even though, you know, you're pretty open about this. You're more of a centrist, independent Democrat. But when you get hit by the party with a censure, what does that tell you about, you know, whether or not you're welcome?
Yeah, you know, it does make you feel bad, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, we're supposed to be a Big Ten party, you know, so, you know, if President Obama could be for charters, why can't I and still be part of the party and not get censured? So, you know, it doesn't make you feel great. You know, it's just the way that things are these days in politics. And, you know, it all starts with the media, too. This is something that's really kind of a bigger issue. Forget about me and forget about the censure. I think everybody knows, whether you're on the left or the right, that this era of people just being reactionary, they see a headline from a biased news organization like The Stranger, for example, right? Mm-hmm. So they see an article that's maybe not totally accurate, but it feeds the narrative that they like. So guy's a terrible person, guy's all about charter schools, which I'm not, you know, it's not my number one issue. But it feeds into their narrative. So then they take that and they post it online, they get whipped up into a frenzy, they go to a meeting, they pass a resolution or a censure. People on both sides really in our democracy need to take a better care of not flying off the handle. Like, find out what it is you're talking about before you pass a judgment. You know, and I think that's really hurting our democracy and our civics.
I 100% agree. Yeah, no, you're 100% correct. I'm glad you're fighting at least for some sort of fairness as it comes to charter schools. We've been talking with Senator Guy Palumbo, Democrat from Maltby. Senator, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. You're listening to The Jason Ranch on AM 770 KTTH.